Okay, so let me introduce my wonderful guest and friend tonight, very good friend, Sanae Suzuki. Sanae was studying at the Kushi Institute when I was director there, so we got to know each other very well, and I'm familiar with some of her story. She lives in Los Angeles with her husband, Eric LeChasseur, who is a wonderful professional macrobiotic chef. Together, they have written three very beautiful books that are all self-published. The books are titled Love, Sanae, and Love, Eric, and then the third book is Love, Sanae, and Eric. And they're beautiful, with beautiful photographs and beautiful recipes. And I understand she's working on a fourth book, which I'll let her tell you about later. They recently started a vegan macrobiotic restaurant called Seed, located in Venice, California, which has now become extremely popular and one of the places to go in L.A. for vegan macrobiotic food. That website is www.seedkitchen.com. And Sanae also teaches and counsels, and they sometimes offer macrobiotic retreats at a beautiful getaway property in the Sierra National Forest near Yosemite National Park. You can find out more about them and their activities on their website at www.loveericinc.com. That's L-O-V-E-E-R-I-C-I-N-C.com. So without any further ado, I would like to welcome our wonderful guest, Sanae Suzuki. Sanae, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me, Pia. That was a great interview.
Wow, you guys are doing such wonderful work out there, so thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, tell us how it all started. What happened? How did you get into macrobiotics?
Okay, am I supposed to start? I'm sorry, I don't know how to start. But
well, just start telling your story. You can start anywhere, wherever. You could start with, maybe you, if you want to start with your ovarian cancer, when you first...
Yes.
How you first noticed it and when you got diagnosed and all of that?
Well, first, thank you, Pia, for inviting me, and thank you for whoever they are listening this. Thank you. I'm Sanae Suzuki, and I'm originally from Japan, a city called Nagoya. It's middle of main island. So you can call it's in the center of Japan.
Yeah.
And I moved here to study English.
Uh-huh.
And so that's some time ago. That was first time when I came, I was in high school, and it was in the 70s. And I landed in Berkeley, California, believe or not. And after that, I was just to... inspired by the California, this beautiful sun, and I stayed here. I was diagnosed ovarian cancer 1993.
Okay.
And I think a few years before that, my father passed from liver and lung cancer.
Oh, my.
And I was still going through the grieving of losing my father. He passed within 10 months after he was diagnosed. He was in Japan. And I read about a little bit about macrobiotic because I was researching about what I can help him. But I didn't really get into macrobiotic study or anything because he passed so quickly. So when I was diagnosed in 1993, I was told to go back to Japan and having a chemotherapy and have a surgery and things like that. But my mom was still sick, or I should say the mentally very weak after my father passed. And my sister just miscarried from her first baby. So I really felt I had no place to go and heal myself.
Yes.
And at the time, Eric was my best friend, who is my husband now.
You were living in Los Angeles then?
Yes, I was in Los Angeles. The same house, actually, in right now in Santa Monica. I've been in Santa Monica for a long time. I went to Pepperdine University after Berkeley, and I so stayed in Santa Monica because I love the beach. I'm a beach girl.
Okay.
So, anyway, what was I saying? Yeah, so my choice was in, either going back to Japan and use my medical insurance in Japan and go through the, all the chemotherapy and things like that. And the other one was to stay here without the medical insurance and take care of myself. Somehow I just felt that going back to Japan was not good. Like I said, my mom was still not strong enough to help me, so as my sister was. My decision, talking to my best friend Eric at the time, was to stay here and maybe have a surgery. So I checked around how much surgery cost and the chemotherapy, and it was too much money for me to come up with some type of money, you know?
Right.
And then I was going to the this Japanese natural food market in Little Tokyo, Los Angeles. There was a guy, his name was Mr. Kikuchi. He used to help me quite a lot. Even though I wasn't the cancer, I was very much interested in the natural food and natural nutrition at that time already. And after I was diagnosed, then talking to the doctor, I visited him. And he highly, highly recommended that I need to initiate and practice seriously macrobiotic, and that could save me, he said.
I see.
So I just follow his guidance because I just felt nothing to lose. I was crying when I was talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have my family in this country, and I lost my father. So maybe Mr. Kikuchi's word sounds like more like my father, you know?
Uh-huh.
He's older than me, and I was able to listen to what he had to say. And he referred me to my first macrobiotic teacher, Cecil Levin.
Okay.
And that's how I started the macrobiotic journey.
I see. That's great. So, so you didn't do any medical treatment at all? Just
I did try the few things that the doctor recommended.
Okay.
It wasn't the chemotherapy because I didn't have enough money to do any serious treatment. They had some kind of try out to medications and things like that. But I had a tremendous migraine headache.
Migraine?
Yes. And then also mood swing was one of the big things.
Okay.
And I tried 6 months, I believe. And I also tried something else called Lupin.
Okay.
Something like that. That's another thing I tried. But the other medication, I do not remember right now.
Was it like a hormone treatment? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so. Yes, you're correct. Yes.
Hmm?
And but did not work. And then besides that...
it didn't work, you mean? So after this period, you went back and tested and nothing changed?
Yeah, the my CA count... was not going down.
Okay.
It was just keep it going up.
I see.
And it wasn't working. And then besides that, I had this side effect was I just couldn't, take it.
What kind of side effects were you experiencing?
So this migraine headache.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
And mood swing.
Uh-huh.
And just... tired. I mean, I was already tired and weak to start.
Okay.
The way I found I had a cancer was the year 1993 started with that this kind of cold, fluish feeling in the January.
Okay.
And then I couldn't kick the cold, and I had a low fever.
Uh-huh.
And by January I started, I think maybe even end of the December of 1992. And then March and April, I still had this cold symptom.
Okay.
And also the slight fever. Wasn't high fever.
Okay.
But the feverish feeling, weak and tired.
Uh-huh.
And slowly, I couldn't really do anything much.
I see.
And I knew that I had to go test. So that's how I went to the doctor. And I had a previously liver condition.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
And I had to stop working 3 months. And I thought maybe that this liver condition came back.
I see.
And so I went to the test, and then the doctor said, it wasn't your liver, but it's your ovary. You have ovarian cancer. That's how they said. And I had to go to the bigger hospital to test more.
I see.
So that's how I found out. So I was already tired and weak.
Okay.
Yes.
Then you took that medication for about 6 months, and nothing happened. But in that 6 months' time, you started macrobiotics, right?
Yeah, I started seriously macrobiotic cooking and going to the cooking classes.
Uh-huh.
November 1993.
Okay.
I remember I even found my first cooking class notebook the other day.
I see.
Yes.
So how did it change from what you were eating before?
Well, I did not eat much meat at that point, but I was taking a lot of sugars.
I see.
So that was the biggest thing that I had to change.
Uh-huh.
And also, I ate more processed food.
Okay.
And also, eating out a lot, or like a to-go food. I would stop by someplace and pick up some food and bring home. So I was eating home, but it wasn't home preparing food.
I see.
So that's probably the biggest things. And then also change white rice, which I grown up with white rice.
Uh-huh.
So change to whole grains,
yes.
Brown rice.
Uh-huh.
And I learned to cook non-electric rice, you know, cooking style.
Oh, yes, yes. Uh-huh.
Because the Japanese are big on electric cooking pot, right?
That's right, yes. All right.
And then I gave away microwave. I wasn't cooking with microwave, but I was using to heating up quite a lot.
Uh-huh.
And what else? I think...
Did you have any special drinks or special remedies, like a hip bath or anything like that?
Yes, I did a hip bath.
Okay, and that
followed by the twig tea douche.
Okay.
I did some ginger compress on my kidney.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes on the liver, not right on my ovary.
Uh-huh.
And I started a body scrub, which I still do after 17 years, pretty much every day.
That's great.
And foot bath,
uh-huh.
Doing exercise instead of going to extreme like Ashtanga yoga, which I used to do quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I slow down and I start doing doing and start to give it more maintenance, like receiving shiatsu massage and cooking for myself.
Uh-huh.
I was lucky, of course. Eric started cooking. Whatever I learned at the cooking class, I come back actually on the way from Cecil Levin's home, I stopped by Co-op Market, or at the time there was no Whole Foods, so Erewhon Natural Food Market.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I stopped by and bought exact the same ingredient that I used in the cooking class, because otherwise I forget.
Right.
So I go and bought the same ingredient. Either that night or next day, I did exact the same recipe.
Uh-huh.
And that time Eric was watching, and we did it together.
Yes.
And then he learned very quickly. Well, of course, he was a chef,
right.
So I really didn't have to tell him much.
Right.
And then that I learned very quickly, I think 1995, yes, I was actually helping with Cecil Levin's cooking class.
Okay. Then how did you... did you have any discharge? How did you know that you were getting better, or did you see the doctor again?
Oh, yeah, I was seeing the doctor pretty much every month, blood test.
Okay.
And November, December, January was very hard, the first 3 months when I really started doing this.
Uh-huh.
But it was holiday seasons.
Right.
I felt very isolated and depressed. And I felt that I can't go any of my friends' parties.
Yes.
That was the hardest thing. And then I really felt nobody understood what I was doing. Most of people, my friends said, I'm crazy.
Oh, I see. Wow.
Yeah, and I lost so much weight. I wasn't big to start with, but I think I was maybe 115, 120
mm-hmm.
pound. I went down to 90 pound.
Mm. Wow.
Within like 3 months.
Okay.
Big discharging came, I think December, I think before Christmas. So pretty much 3 weeks after I start eating strictly really healing food.
Uh-huh.
I had this high fever
uh-huh.
and congested the feeling of my throat and nose. It's like you're catching a flu.
Okay.
And very uncomfortable and feel like really sick, like you are catching flu and maybe stomach flu at the same time.
Yes.
Because I had like a kind of stomach pain and sweating a lot. It lasts, I would say, 3 to 4 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And I start smelling really bad.
Okay.
Yes. And then everything came out. Every hole that you could think.
Oh, my.
Means it comes from my mouth that, you know, I'm coughing, so gagging all the mucus.
Uh-huh.
And it came out from my nose. That's normal, uh-huh. right? Mouth and nose. Eyes, all the gooey stuff. Every morning from ear and the vagina. Everything that you could imagine. And then I was sweating, so each skin has a hole, so everything came out. I was on a lotus root plaster.
Yes.
Hold my face, hold my chest, and what else? You name it, everything. Of course, I did a lotus root tea,
uh-huh.
carrots and daikon tea. I did the sweet vegetable drink, umeshokuzu.
Yes.
I don't know which remedy that I did not do.
I see. Okay, so then how long did it take for everything to be clear, like your blood test to show clear?
That took a long time, Fia. Blood tests start showing a little bit better maybe after 6 months.
Okay.
But sometimes, even though I was feeling better, blood tests did not show better.
Okay.
And that was very scary and frustrated because the doctor would say something like, whatever you're doing, it's not working.
Uh-huh, right.
You know? But I kept telling the doctor, but I feel good. You know? There's a really blood test account? And he said, yes. But that was the time that my first lesson, that I need to follow my heart and how I really feel.
Okay.
And I'm still practicing, and of course, it's getting much easier now.
Mm-hmm.
But at the beginning, I get very, very insecure.
Uh-huh.
And if doctors or my good friend will say something like, tonight you don't look good. Maybe you feel good, but maybe you're pretending like you're feeling good.
Uh-huh.
But Fia, I really, really felt much better after I went to this big, gigantic mucus discharging I finished.
Yes, right.
And by April, I was going to take a cooking class, like an all-day cooking class, 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock cooking class.
Yes.
And sometimes, of course, I had to lay down because it was a very long day. But I felt better.
Uh-huh.
So I just kept going to take a blood test. And what I noticed, Fia, when I'm not resting enough or I will have some kind of bad news, like maybe talking to my mom, and then I go to blood test, and the result was no good. So I start feeling it's about my mental state is reflecting to my blood test. So I start meditating.
Okay.
And I think that was like a transitioning of more not just eating and taking remedy drink, but internally I start practicing macrobiotic.
Yes. Okay.
And the whole thing took 3 years.
Okay, so in 3 years' time, your blood became clean.
Yes.
Oh, amazing. And so with the meditation, and what kind of meditation did you do?
I've been doing Vipassana meditations.
Okay.
And then I go to 10 days silent meditation.
Yes.
The one I go to is North Fork. Where I found the location of our retreat, the property that we found, the 6 acres.
That's right, yes.
That's how we found the North Fork.
Great.
Yes.
So then later you came to the Kushi Institute and you studied there and learned, went through all the levels, including level 4, and then on your way back you had an accident. So tell us briefly about that.
Oh, yes, exactly. So that was, yes, when I took level 1, 2, 3, you were there. I studied here in Los Angeles, and I had opportunity to start helping a CISO 11th class, but I really felt that I needed to go to Kushi Institute to complete my study.
Yes.
So I went, and I'm grateful that you were there.
Yeah.
And I am really happy that I completed it. And then when Michio Sensei started level 4, which was 2001, August, I decided to go to the level 4.
Yes.
And after I took the first level 4,
yes.
I stopped by the Bill Dafty's house in Michigan.
Okay. Yeah.
And much helping him cooking. And so I didn't rush into any trip this one. But I was feeling something that it wasn't quite right. So later on I found out that this coccin was proved that what I was feeling was correct. But something was not feeling completely. And on the way back home, the day that I was supposed to go back to Los Angeles, I was in Prescott, Arizona.
Okay.
I stopped by the another friend's house. I stopped by probably 4 different friends on the way back. So it took like 3 weeks for me to come back. And I took, instead of a highway road to going back to Los Angeles, I took this off-site road going through the closed desert. And I still remember I stopped at this little town called Hope.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I want to mention this was a long time my good friend Eric, we've been good friends, and he had asked me to marry before that too, but I didn't say yes, and I kept him kind of waiting for 10 years. Bad girl. Oh, you know, I had a good reason. I was sick, and I didn't feel that I had the confidence to get married. I was married before,
right.
And I didn't want to remarry anymore. If I do remarry, it has to be really, I have to be sure, you know?
Yes.
So anyway, that trip was kind of like a really testimonial things. First time in 10 years, I really, really felt I needed to go back to Santa Monica to be with Eric. So I had a conversation with my girlfriend the night before. I told her that I think I'm ready to get married, and I'm going to tell Eric about this. And so when I saw this little town called Hope, I said, wow, there is a hope. I'm going to tell him how I feel. And 15 minutes later, I had a car accident.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Okay.
And then I found out later via he was just packing his stuff and to leave me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is like I haven't told too many people, but he told me that he was just tired of waiting. And so that's the time that he got the phone call from police that, do you know Sanai Suzuki? And he said yes, and he said Sanai had a serious car accident. She's out of conscious. She's in a Phoenix, Arizona hospital. Can you come? So that's how he came to see me. I don't remember, of course. I was in a coma. So I really don't know what really happened to that car accident. Just all of a sudden, I lost my will, lost the control of my will, and brake didn't work, or I should say cruise control didn't come off. I was on a cruise control.
I see.
And 3.5 times rolled over.
Mm.
I counted how many times the car was rolling.
Mm.
And you would not believe it. You cannot hear anything. It must be tremendous, gigantic noise that the car made to roll over, right?
Yes.
I did not hear anything. It was like a slow motion of a car rolling. And all I was saying was, please stop this car. And I knew that when the car stopped, I would die. And it's a matter of time until the rescue came. It was the middle of a desert, so I think the way I felt was it could be 30 minutes that the rescue came in, or it could be hours. And I found out later on, somebody told me, they came 4 hours later, and it took 2 hours for them to take me out from the car because they had to cut the part of the car to my body out from the car. It was about the car accident happened like 1 o'clock, and so I must be there to like 5 or 6 o'clock, and I was airlifted. But I don't remember. I remember that they pulled my body out from car, and I remember it was so hot, and it was 105 degrees. And I had 3 of my dogs with me and 1 cat. And 1 dog survived and cat survived, who is actually sitting right next to me right now.
Oh, wow. Wonderful.
Yes. And that's how we survived. But it's more the journey that the recovery journey started after I came, I guess I regained my conscious, how I came back, you know, after I had out-of-body experience, and I came back, and it was tough. I think I have to be honest that it was tougher than when I had a cancer recovery. Mm. I could not move my body, and I had to do the bedridden using a bedpan for whole 1 year.
Wow.
And the doctor said, I'll never walk.
Mm.
And I have to eat beef.
Oh, my.
Doctor and the hospital, everybody said, I must eat meat.
I see. Wow.
But I did not eat any meat, any dairy, nothing.
Mm.
I kept my microbiotic practice. And I'm very proud of myself being very stubborn and tell them no, thank you, but no,
uh-huh.
I don't want to eat. And they were very threatening me, like scaring me.
Wow.
But I really didn't want to eat. I never believed that eating meat will help me, so I am very grateful that all the good practice that I learned from all of my teachers and, you know, at the Kushi or here in Los Angeles, in Europe, and in Japan, and I really appreciate all their practice and what they taught me.
Yes. So now you can walk, yes?
Yes, and I'm trying not to use even crutch.
Uh-huh.
I still use a wheelchair when I go to, let's say, like a farmer's market.
Okay.
So that I can walk hours. I love farmer's market.
Yes.
So I probably ended up staying there like 1 hour or 2 hours talking to each organic farmers, and then I carried all my stuff in my wheelchair.
Uh-huh.
So I still use that wheelchair, which I got gifted from Madonna.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, I used to massage Madonna-san, so she gave me that, and I'm very treasuring this wheelchair.
Yes,
and,
great, wonderful. That's
yes, and
the doctors think about your recovery from the accident. Were they like amazed or?
Yes, one doctor, this young doctor who was in what do you call that trauma center?
Yes.
ER, right? Emergency room. Doctor Hamilton.
Yes.
He saved my life.
Oh.
Because my heart stopped, and they resuscitate regular resuscitation.
Yes.
But I did not come back. Oh. So he said it took probably 10 to 12 minutes or something like that. He felt connected with me, and he did a procedure of putting the needle into my heart sac.
Oh, wow.
And he heard about this procedure when he was in school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he never heard that anybody did it except movies.
Right.
But he did it.
Great.
And that's how I came back.
Wonderful. That's amazing.
Yes. Yeah. That's amazing. Exactly. He did not tell me until much later on. He wrote me a letter,
yeah.
And he told me that I got the gift to come back.
Great.
And he wanted me to really cherish that my second chance. You know, he doesn't know that I had a cancer either. So for me, it's not a second chance, maybe third chance, or who knows, fourth chance, you know?
Right.
And but he really, really saved my life, and I can't thank enough to him. And he is the one, actually, every day he came to see me when I was in the hospital, and he saw me not eating meat.
Uh-huh.
And I was using like a rescue remedy,
uh-huh.
or like all kinds of like maybe I was using like a sesame oil to massage my arm.
Yes.
He said, "Whatever you're doing, just keep doing it, because every day you look so much better."
That's great.
So his word was really, really tremendous help. I had three doctors,
yes.
And the other main doctor actually was really telling me that, no, you cannot touch your legs, you cannot touch this, you might damage your nerve because you have diminished your nerve function.
Nerve function, yes. Uh-huh.
Yes, but I said, but I feel I need to touch.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as my hands are able to move, I start touching, you know? So, of course, some doctor didn't understand that, but I had this young doctor who understood, who supported me.
That's wonderful. That's...
Yes. So if Dr. Hamilton is out there, I said, thank you so much, doctor.
Yes.
Yes.
Great. Wonderful. Excellent. Okay. So, so you have a wheelchair from Madonna, and I know sometimes you have celebrities. I know Eric has cooked for some, and you maybe have them come to your restaurant. Do you want to?
Yes. Yes. I just cooked with Eric here and there to help his cooking, Madonna and other celebrity, but he's the one. Mainstream cooking for celebrities.
Yes, wonderful.
Usually, which celebrities come in to see it now? Of course, Tobey Maguire is Eric's even current client. He still cooks for Tobey Maguire after he stopped cooking for him about maybe 1 year because of the restaurant, but they really wanted Eric to come back, so he's cooking for Toby. He cooked for Leo DiCaprio beginning of this year a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And so whatever the time that Eric is able to cook. So Leo DiCaprio was at the Seed with his girlfriend, Bar. And there are some other celebrity, but see, I don't know too many celebrities. I don't know the name much.
Right.
There's a TV show, The Hero.
Oh, yeah.
One of the girl coming from there, and then also The House.
Okay.
Olivia somebody.
Okay. Great.
But, you know, I'm not paying attention, and I don't know too many celebrity. I would like to watch movie, but...
Right.
Yes. And when I used to go to Madonna's house, Madonna's ex-husband, I call him ex-husband now, but Guy Ritchie used to tell me that, you probably don't watch the TV, right, Sanai? So I said, no. I said, that's okay, because I didn't know who Guy Ritchie was.
Right.
So when I...
Hello?
Yes?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so when I met him, I told him, I'm sorry, but what do you do? I don't know you. And that's what he told me. But
uh-huh.
So, it's not that, you know, we we cooking for only celebrity, but it definitely, those people inspire other people, and it's a good that Erica cooks for these people.
Yes.
And they can send a message to many, many people.
Yes, that's great.
Yes, right. Alicia comes too. So, yeah, Alicia Silverstone, who just did a kind diet.
Yes, that's right.
With Jessica Porter, yes.
I think because of Madonna, a lot of people also got interested as well. So.
Yes, exactly. Sting. We just trained Sting's new chef.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so we always doing trying new things and...
Yes. So tell us that you're working on a new book for pets. Yes.
Oh yes. So I just finished my new book, The Loves and I, and that was a big job. It took 3.5 years.
Yes.
And 325 page or something like that. So I just feel like okay, I did it. And now I want to do something different, totally different, but it's in the same field.
Yes.
So my passion, one of the passion that I have is my pet, who I called my children, my babies. Since I was ovarian, I had ovarian cancer and I could not produce that human baby this lifetime. So I raised a therapy dog, and they're doing really good. Some of them are on NBC Today's news morning show.
Wonderful. Pedigree dogs. Wonderful. Okay.
Yeah, they are a service dog. They're helping this 16-year-old boy who is a disabled person.
Yeah.
And my dog are going to high school with him.
Oh, wonderful. Nice.
Yeah, so...
Organically, brown rice and.
Well, this dog, I don't have him anymore.
Oh, okay.
He, I donate him to this organization, so. I raise him, of course, macrobiotically.
Okay.
But once I release them, I can't control everything.
Sure.
He's
right.
Eating natural dog food at least.
Uh huh.
And. I have 5 of them right now that I'm raising.
Oh, wonderful.
2 going to the children hospital, like a senior home, mm-hmm. as a therapy dog. 1 is a training. 2 just born actually January.
Uh-huh.
So they are in a potty training. I give them all macrobiotic food. Preparing 365 days home food.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, they eat mainly whole grains, soft cooked whole grains,
uh-huh.
either brown rice, quinoa, millet, barley, and maybe polenta, amaranth, something like that, always.
Any meat, any dairy, no?
No dairy.
Okay.
I give some organic eggs.
Okay.
And some organic meat.
Uh-huh.
But right now, there's 2 new puppies. Mm-hmm. I'm trying without meat.
Okay.
And, of course, there are lots of people complaining at me. Because they believe that I need to feed them meat. But from my practice, like the last 12 years, I've been feeding my own dogs, and about 1/4 is meat and rest is whole grains and the vegetables. They eat lots of broccolis and carrots.
I see.
And I just wanted to see how changes without the meat part and the eggs part.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And their difference is they grow very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And their sisters and brothers are 3 times bigger.
I see.
And they are much smaller. So really they are like 2 months behind.
Yes.
but they are reaching it slowly but gradually.
Okay.
So I don't see anything wrong with it.
Uh-huh.
But if I really feel it, that there's a lack of a nutrition or anything, I would change to basic of macrobiotic diet, and the meat included for dogs.
Okay.
You know, these are dog macrobiotics.
Right.
You know, it's just like each individual human, where you live, what type of work you do, slightly different, you know?
Yes, yes.
So dogs and humans are different.
Right.
So I come up with the dog macrobiotic food, and I will do the cooking class again for the dogs in my pet naturally in West Los Angeles next month.
Oh,
and yeah, I've done the class, and the people are very interested.
Uh-huh.
And I think I'm very excited to writing this story about my dogs and my cat.
Great.
And then incrementing the recipes.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, so that's something that I'm excited to write.
I want to make sure I leave some time for some questions because we've been going on for quite a while. So
yes, please.
If anybody has a question, please press 5-star on their phone, on your phone now. So go ahead and do that if you have any questions. So you're working on this book. How soon do you see this book coming out?
I don't know. I just started, so I'm just plant the seed and start watering, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I see the little sprout coming because I start writing a few pages.
Okay.
And no plan, just this is something that relaxed me.
Right. Yeah.
And when I usually make a plan, like last book, I said, okay, I'll write this in 2 years. It took 3.5 years, almost 4 years.
Right.
So it's best that I don't make a plan.
Yes. So again, if you have any questions, press 5-star on the phone. Any of you who are calling in, please feel free to press 5-star at any time. So tell us about your retreat center in the Sierra Mountains.
Okay.
Near the city, yes? Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. This is called a little town called North Fork.
North Fork.
Fork like, yeah, fork like the fork we eat, use, you know.
Okay.
When we eat. And it's about 30 minutes to 45 minutes from Fresno.
Yes.
And Yosemite is about, the south gate of Yosemite is about 67 miles.
Oh, wow. Wonderful.
Yes. And Bass Lake, there's one other big lake called Bass Lake, is 7 miles.
Uh-huh.
And there's a few more lakes all around the area. And it's wonderful Sierra mountain footage. And scenic driveway is around. And it's about 3,000 feet high.
Uh-huh.
Not too high so that we don't get too much snow.
How often do you run retreat over there?
We try to set something once a month by appointment only.
Okay.
And there's an organic farmer is in the North Fork.
Uh-huh.
And the water is spring water.
How many people can stay there?
Right now, we set up up to inside probably like 4 to 6 people.
Okay.
And summertime, people camp out outside.
Okay.
And it's beautiful. And like anybody went to Beckett, it reminded me of Beckett a little bit.
Yes, where the Kushi Institute is. Uh-huh.
Yes. But it has a more lively, like a community. They play music.
Oh, great.
There is a Mono Indian museum, and they do craft class, that you can take a class and you learn how to make a craft, how to make a craft in the Mono Indian.
Uh-huh.
And there's a wine maker, a local wine maker, and you can go winery.
Yeah.
And meditation center, like I said earlier, the Vipassana center is very close, walking distance.
We have a question here. I'm going to...
Yes.
Okay. Hello, you're on.
Hello, my name is Elmeta Pace, and I'm calling you from Erie, Pennsylvania.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome.
Yes, my name is Elmeta Pace, and I'm calling you from Erie, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Do you think anytime soon you all will have someone in our area to teach macrobiotics?
In Erie, Pennsylvania?
Yes.
There's a pretty active community in Philadelphia. How far are you from Philadelphia?
About 10 hours.
Oh, okay. So you're more closer to Pittsburgh or somewhere?
I'm closer to Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Well, I tell you what, if you email me at fiyak, P-H-I-Y-A-K, @gmail.com, I'll try to find the closest person near your area who can help you.
Before you go off, would you repeat it again? I'm not by a pencil.
Okay.
Before you go off the air?
Sure.
Before you go off the conference.
Again,
call.
My email is fiyak, P-H-I, like Philip, P-H-I-Y-A-K. @gmail.com.
Thank you.
If you email me, I will we'll get that information to you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, yes, you're welcome. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for your question.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, so, so that's wonderful. And so do you have a retreat scheduled anytime soon? Or is it just by appointment, as you say?
It's appointment, and actually we did it 2 weeks ago.
Okay, we have another question here.
Nye, do you give cooking classes in the Los Angeles area routinely?
Yes, we have ongoing, usually Thursday cooking class, and that's at 10:30 till usually 1:30, mm-hmm. And another class usually once a month in the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good for people who work then.
Yeah, weekend, and also we do community class in the restaurant. This coming June 13th will be at the Seed, 11 to 12. That's a community class, so we charge only $10.
Mm-hmm.
And I will demonstrate a remedy drink usually. And then another one, I think, at the restaurant is Monday night. So we try to have a different time, different day. So Thursday morning, and then Saturday is this month, it's 12th. That's a 2 to 5.
So people can find out the times and dates, and they have to make an appointment?
Yeah, you need to register.
Right.
By email or by phone.
And they can find you probably on Facebook and get that information?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. And okay. We're doing this ongoing. We're going to close that office 1 week this month, I think 16th through 23rd. But again, the 24th Thursday class, we're going to start again. So that's like ongoing. And this is a fun class. This is like a Kushi Institute kitchen style. The chef of Kushi, that Hideki, used to work there over 20 years.
Oh.
He's doing Kushi Institute kitchen style. So we don't know what we're going to make.
And what date is this?
That's a Thursday. Every Thursday, 10:30 in the morning.
Okay. Okay, that's
and then it's fun because you don't know what we're going to make. We put together ingredients, and if you have something in the pantry that maybe you bought it but you have not used for a long time because you knew that, that this was good. Like some people bring like black soybeans. They hear that this is good, but they never use it.
Mm-hmm.
So they bring these kind of things, and we show how to make it, and then they go, wow, my black soybeans and sitting in the pantry became this. And it's a really fun class. So no recipe, so anybody can come and just start cooking and talking, asking me and Hideki both. And we sit down in the outside the patio and by the bamboo garden. And I think you would love this kind of class too. And
well,
the other class is a basic class. So it's more like a functional by the recipes.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you have more questions about the yin and yang principles. So fun class and then more like a principle class.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's great. Yes, and your Facebook is Eric Sanai, right?
Yes.
And that's spelled E-R-I-C, like Eric, and then the second name is S-A-N-A-E. So
that's right.
If you look up Eric Sanai on Facebook, you can friend them, and they're on there. And that's another way to get in touch with them. So we're just about out of time. So, again, I want to thank you so much. If you do have other questions, feel free to email me, or you can go to the website at www.piyakushi.com, that's P-H-I-Y-A-K-U-S-H-I.com, and under her entry, you can comment there and ask a question. Or you can go to Sanai's website. Sanai has a couple of websites. One is the, it's called Love Eric Inc., L-O-V-E-R-I-C-I-N-C.com. And there you can find out about all the events and activities that they do and the retreat and the classes and all about them and their books as well. They also have the restaurant, of course, and their restaurant is seedkitchen.com. That's the website, www.seedkitchen.com. And the number there, let's see, I have the numbers.
Restaurant number?
Yeah, the number is, I have it here, it's 310, area code 310-396-1604. That's the number of the restaurant, 310-396-1604. Is there another number that they can call if for any other thing, or is that it?
That's probably the best number because they're open every day. So.
Okay, great, wonderful. Okay, so thanks again, Sanai, and thanks again, everyone, for calling in and for being here. And what an amazing story, and we look forward to your book on pets. That would really be amazing. Wonderful, and it's great to hear everything that you said. So thanks.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so just a reminder, next Sunday, we have calls on Sunday afternoon, and please share this with whoever might be interested. Sunday afternoon, June 13th, we will have a very special guest. His name is Alan Gompers, who was in maximum security prison, and he discovered macrobiotics in prison and began practicing and had a lot of wonderful benefits, and he now travels the country talking about it. Then 1 week from today, on Monday, the next day, Monday, June 14th, our guest will be Mr. James Kerman, who recovered from cancer of the vocal cords, and he was a singer. So this was a pretty traumatic thing for him to get cancer of the vocal cords. So that'll be next week, same time, 9 to 10 p.m., so join us. And thank you again. If you have any questions or have a story to share or know somebody who does, please feel free again to email me at fiak@gmail.com. And that's it. So thanks again, everyone, and have a good evening. Thanks again, Sanai. Wonderful, wonderful. And best of luck to everything that you're doing.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Thank you.
Bye.
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 Bye-bye.